another episode of the Seamless Connection podcast. I am thrilled to have with me today on this sunny Friday afternoon, Meg Barron, who is the current Managing Director of Engagement and Outreach at the Peterson Health Technology Institute and the former VP of Digital Health and Innovations at the American Medical Association. Meg, thanks so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mina, for having me. Really looking forward to it.
I'm thrilled to have you on. For those in the audience that don't know you and your background quite as well, can you give us a little bit more background on your history? From you've spanned a whole host of experiences from founder and startup founder yourself, all the way through to healthcare innovator, now through an advisor and an engagement outreach person driving forward the next generation of virtual care.
Yeah, of course, I'd be happy to. So yes, I've been fortunate to have been involved in healthcare for 20 plus years and largely health technology. Dating back, I really started my career at a corporation called Smith Buckland, which I had the opportunity to work with healthcare and business clients and transitioned over to Capgemini, which was not specific to healthcare, but working for large global campaigns more from a marketing standpoint. And that led me to American Medical Association, where I started off in segmentation marketing, which really was looking at four different segmentations of physicians. So think young physicians, women physicians, international medical graduate physicians, different resources, products, resources that would be helpful and impactful for them, which then led me into business and product development roles at American Medical Association, which was fascinating to get really plugged into. Along that same time, I'd gotten plugged into some of the different accelerators and incubators that were getting off the ground, both within healthcare and outside of healthcare, which again kind of led me down my own entrepreneurial path for a bit, which happy to talk more about. But during my time at AMA, when a lot of the work was happening around product development and business development and looking internally at needs that we have, we wanted to also identify where there were opportunities to collaborate with startups and innovators that were bringing new ideas to market and doing so in the most efficient way as possible. And that, again, really got us plugged into, while I was at the AMA, with different accelerators such as Matter and helping on the ground floor to really get physicians and end users involved in innovative new startups and ideas that were just starting really at the ground floor. And that, again, led me into digital health, which at the time was really just being referred to as health IT and a lot of talk about interoperability and electronic health records and ways to optimize electronic health records. And then more nascently, things like virtual care and clinical decision support tools and remote patient monitoring were all a bit more on the peripheral. Of course, starting to gain traction, but you could tell it was a bit of the wild, wild west. So dating back to around 2016 is when I joined the digital health team at the American Medical Association, which led to me having the opportunity to help lead and drive the strategy and a lot of the resources and work that we did for them.
No, that's fantastic. And before we dive further into the 101 questions that pop into my head right there, I always like to start with the personal story of what brought you into healthcare. I'm a firm believer that everyone has a healthcare story, and whether it's yours or your family and friends or something that you saw that made you know that this was it for you.
Yeah, I think can you share that moment? Of course. So, you know, what really led me, both my parents had their own businesses. My dad goes through the VA for his care, and my mom struggled quite a bit, to be honest, to be able to find insurance that was a fit for her, especially as a small business owner. Again, we all have personal stories, as you were noting, and unfortunately, my mom did get diagnosed with cancer about 7 years ago and ended up passing away. So I had a very intimate view of seeing her go through really the system at large and being able to navigate care and kind of the pain points that she experienced along that path. And being directly involved in healthcare, it also can really open your eyes to areas of opportunity and really pain points. And of course, areas of opportunity for health technology to help play a role, especially from an access and even equity standpoint. So that's my personal journey that, of course, keeps me really passionate about this work And I think, again, so many areas to improve upon, but a lot of bright spots that we can pull on as well.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I'm so sorry to hear about your mom.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And I'd say, you know, what's led me to the newly launched Peterson Health Technology Institute is a few things. Like during my time at the AMA, I was often on the receiving end from physicians, health systems, employers, plans, end users, ultimately just wanting to know what works and what's worth it as it relates to digital health technologies. And we would do a lot in relation to case studies and putting out resources at the time to be able to showcase, again, what's working well and what's not. When I learned that the Peterson Health Technology Institute was forming, and through the Peterson Foundation, they were going to be fully funding through philanthropy dollars, independent evaluations and assessments of digital health technologies to ultimately look at those questions of what works and what's worth it, and how do we scale, who's meeting the mark or really exceeding the mark in those capacities faster, it made me incredibly passionate to want to join the cause and mission.
No, that's fantastic. And given your unique viewpoint as both a consumer from a very intimate point of view and a very deep point of view, as opposed to I have my checkup. Right. What did you notice as those bright spots that you mentioned, as well as those really key pain points?
Yeah, I mean, I think let's take, for example, my mom's experience with all, you know, she fortunately at the time had not had a lot of engagements with the healthcare system other than her regular checkups and all. So then having to get really intimately like plugged into finding the right specialists, finding the right doctors, figuring out what was covered from her insurance, figuring out what ways, especially coming from more of a rural area in Illinois, ways to be able to make that as efficient as possible for her as well, be it for chemotherapy or radiation or, again, things that she was having to go through. I think as we think about bright spots and areas of opportunity for technology to help play a role, it's how do we make that as user-friendly as possible or patient-friendly as possible? And again, to do so, you really need to know what bar needs to be met. And then again, when that bar can be met, how do we scale those innovations faster and to wider audiences as efficiently as possible?
Yeah, no, that's 100% true. With your journey in healthcare innovation and digital health across the board, what brought you from your experiences as a creator and innovator yourself to that next level? Because that's a jump that many people don't make. So I'm very curious as to what made you do that.
Well, it's interesting. I mentioned that both my parents had their own businesses. Mm-hmm. So that I grew up with that somewhat in my DNA and being able to see the good, the bad, the ugly that comes along with that. I did not start down a path to go down that lane myself per se, but again, always, I think, approach things from more of an entrepreneurial spirit or gravitate towards opportunities that, again, are just getting up and off the ground, I would say. And at the time, it was an opportunity that actually with my mom was able to help to start a small startup at the time to help her scale the company that she was working on. I will say there's the good, the bad, the ugly, again, back to that, that comes with anything as it relates to it. So I have empathy for startups that are building things and working to get their innovations up and off the ground. I think through all of that, it makes me see very clearly the need to make sure that you're meeting the mark from a customer and patient standpoint, right? And while what I was working on with my mom at the time was not healthcare specific, again, just from seeing both of their experiences with small businesses, the need to be able to be adaptable to what you're hearing from your customers. And sometimes that might not be the sexiest of things, but being able to respond to that, right, like efficiently is absolutely critical. And I think at times, as you look at even just the digital health landscape, there is a lot out there, right? And there's point solution fatigue. And at times, there's areas of opportunity for companies to be able to take a wider net view of how can they approach the solution that they're building from an end user's perspective better and help connect the dots to things that they ultimately need versus just kind of one specific aspect of it. Because ultimately, no one wants to have to adopt 10 different solutions for 10 different problems that they have, right? And I think in order for things to efficiently scale, solutions will have to better meet the mark in those areas.
No, 100%. I can't reinforce that more as a startup founder myself in terms of making sure you're understanding the underlying needs of the client, not what they think they want, but what they actually really want and need.
Right. And that's an art and a science, right? Like everything to things. But again, I think that just comes from having a very direct focus on listening and responding and being able to be adaptable to, again, what your customers and for digital health, what patients and end users are really experiencing.
No, 100%. So for those looking to make their mark in digital health and virtual healthcare, what advice would you offer from that kind of viewpoint, from the innovator's viewpoint? Are there particular areas within virtual care that you think have more opportunity than others?
I think it's less about like specific areas of virtual care or even digital health per se. I think there's so many problems yet to be solved, right? And I think a lot of it does get back to this point solution fatigue of being able to have a wider lens to the problems that purchasers, digital health purchasers, be it health systems, you know, physicians, practices, health plans, employers are experiencing, and to better connect the dots on what those needs are. I do think, again, better connection points between what end users, patients are experiencing and what's getting built in the classic, you know, hammer looking for a nail versus lots of nails that need hammers, right? And needing to be able to better find each other. Dating back to while I was at American Medical Association and relationships and partnerships that were formed while there, with groups like Matter, which is a health tech accelerator and incubator, or others like Mass Challenge Health Tech, we were hearing from a lot of companies, wow, we would love to get more physician involvement in what we're building, be it as a fractional CMO or just giving one-time feedback or finding clinical advisors. But that can be really difficult to do. And we were playing a lot of manual matchmaking as it relates to connecting physicians and health tech companies and to some degree patients as well. We ended up at the time creating a platform called Physician Innovation Network, which really helped to be a match.com to connect physicians and health tech companies in the ecosystem. I will say now, while at Peterson Health Technology Institute, when we're working on doing independent evaluations and assessments of digital health technologies and solutions, that need to make sure that physician and clinical expertise is being included in those reports, as well as direct patient feedback and experiences and lived experiences with different disease states and even digital health technologies is incredibly important. And we want to be able to ensure that that is at the center of the reports and really output that we're putting forward. So ultimately, it's how do you better connect the dots between those with the problems and those that are, of course, looking to be able to solve for the problems in market.
No, that makes a ton of sense. We've talked about the vendor consolidation and point solution fatigue a little bit already, but do you think that's a transformative trend, or would you highlight something else as a transformative trend in virtual care today? Because people have talked about AI, everything, or, you know, or all sorts of, you know, the clinical decision-making support tools, all sorts of ways to basically help the physician be more efficient. But I'm curious from your perspective, what really stands out as kind of the overarching feature as kind of what's pushing virtual care adoption for today? Because that's a big part of it, right? You can have the greatest things in sliced bread and no one uses it. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. I can touch on a few things there because I think you're hitting on something that is so apropos. It truly is, again, back to those questions that I mentioned that we are looking to really answer through the PHTI reports that we are putting out, which are ultimately, does it work and for whom, and is it worth it, especially from a budget impact perspective? Ultimately, for things to get successfully adopted, those key questions need to be able to get answered. And also, to be fair for the developers and innovators, you need to know what bar needs to be met, right? Mm-hmm. And again, you need to know that so you can meet it and ultimately exceed it. And back to, you know, the what we were discussing around connecting the dots on broader problem statements to be solved, that's really necessary to be able to do that as efficiently as possible. I'll give an example. While I was at the American Medical Association and dating back to 2016, there was really a need to better understand, outside of electronic health records, what was getting utilized in market at the time for physicians, and had surveyed over 1,300 physicians across the country in different practice settings, in different specialty areas, different ages, different demographics, and really wanted to get a pulse check on what was getting currently utilized, where there was enthusiasm for adoption, and then ultimately what key requirements there were for adoption to be able to additionally scale. And this was looking at virtual care, remote patient monitoring, clinical decision support tools, and things of that nature, EHRs aside, because that was somewhat of a given at that point. Yeah. And the top line from that was physicians were more enthusiastic than we expected them to be for digital health, especially given frustrations with EHRs that were, you know, being felt, and I think currently being felt. But ultimately, their key requirements, they were loud and clear that they needed solutions to be able to show clinical efficacy, show that there was a fair reimbursement pathway if they were going to use it or prescribe it to their patients, show from a liability standpoint, especially for privacy and security, that solutions were meeting the mark. And then ultimately, and I think what you're also getting at, Mina, is last but certainly not least, and often the most difficult, is the change management of just integrating one more thing. And this gets back to what we were discussing for point solution overload into an already very laborious workflow. And just adding that one more step or one more click, right, yeah, can sometimes be the straw that breaks the camel's back. And again, that all gets back to what I was mentioning of being able to see the bigger picture there. And ultimately, if you are a solution that can help address 10 problems versus one singular problem,
yeah,
your chances or likelihood of success are going to be that much more. But still, at the end of the day, if the clinical effectiveness is not there, and again, the ability to be able to show that you're able to accomplish that for the patient populations of interest, for those that are purchasing the solutions, as well as that question of, is it worth it, especially from a budget impact standpoint? It's very difficult to scale your solution.
And you've probably seen this, because I'm going to push you on the other side of it. There is a whole graveyard littered with startups, yeah, and you know, companies that did show actually clinical efficacy, but never made it over that bar of product market fit, or better way to say it, product market adoption.
Yeah.
And those challenges to adoption are very real and very steep. In your experience, what are those kind of the most significant challenges, and how can they be overcome even when you've shown clinical efficacy, right? There's still another level to kind of make it, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mentioned those kind of essential foundational points around a reimbursement pathway, mm-hmm, right? And being able to understand that, the privacy and security questions. And I would also layer into that, like, health equity and accessibility access points, mm-hmm, right? And then just from a brass tacks change management aspect, while at AMA, had the opportunity to help develop various resources, such as some implementation playbooks, which, mm-hmm, there were qualitative interviews done with end users, be it, you know, members of the clinical care team, entrepreneurs, the vendors themselves, those that were really the decision makers as part of the adoption process, to say what's worked and what hasn't, and how do we shine a light on the kind of best practices that are being seen for things like virtual care. And I will say how those started off is, first and foremost, identifying, kind of co-developing and understanding what's the problem that's looking to be solved here. And, mm-hmm, also right from the get-go, getting the right executive buy-in and also right kind of team assembled that's going to be in charge of and ultimately responsible for the scaling or really rollout of any new net new solution into a workflow. I think those and kind of aligning expectations from the get-go between any, be it pilot or partnership that you're entering into, is ultimately essential, right? As well as setting milestones for what success going to look like. And again, back to expectation setting from both the purchaser standpoint or those that are adopting the solution with the vendor themselves. I'll say, you know, it's spring conference season, fresh off of a number of events, including Vive, where I had the opportunity to moderate a session on this topic on pilots vying for a second season. And it included, you know, VCs as well as purchasers, digital health purchasers, such as health systems and plans. And ultimately, I can tell you that a lot of people don't even really want to refer to things as pilots anymore, right? That from the get-go, they're saying, we don't even want to use the word pilot, and back to pilotitis and pilot graveyard and all. It's from the get-go, if you're not looking at this from a strategic partnership standpoint, right? Yeah. And again, aligning on those expectations, are you really setting yourself up for success?
No, that completely makes sense. And you touched a little bit on one of the key players in this triangle, if you will. It's the health system, it's the provider, and then it's the patient, right? Yeah. So focusing on those last two, the patient and the provider, what role do they have in pushing forward innovation? Because we always talk about, as you said, the purchaser is a health system at the end of the day, so they have an outsized voice. But I'm curious as to how important a role or how critical a role or what role, if any at all, you feel the latter two have.
Oh, I think absolutely essential, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll give two examples. One, I have already mentioned a number of things from my time at American Medical Association, such as the Physician Innovation Network and mm-hmm. some direct work with patients to get their insights into what's working and what's not, right? And from a user experience and accessibility standpoint, I'll say now while at the Peterson Health Technology Institute, again, we have identified clinical advisors that are directly involved in the development of our independent evaluations and assessments that we are doing for digital health solutions and categories. And again, directly getting their feedback on the available literature and published data on various solution categories. Same to be said for patients and patients with lived experiences with different mm-hmm. disease states, as well as their experiences with the digital health technologies and solutions. And I think ultimately that's most important to help drive decisions on both the needs that are being experienced in market, as well as opportunity areas, right? To really be able to expand access and again, back to accessibility. I think, you know, both from my own lived experiences with family and friends as we all have, as well as just being in healthcare for, you know, 20 plus years, everyone sets off to, you know, we hope accomplish that from the best perspective possible, but things can often get lost in translation if those two, meaning end users from a physician and clinical team perspective, as well as patient perspective, aren't kept at the core of anything that's getting developed.
No, that makes sense. And you talked about some of those key strategic partnerships just in general throughout your career. Partnerships have been a cornerstone of your work. I'd love to know from your point of view, what makes a partnership successful in the digital health space? And can you share an example of one that significantly advanced virtual care?
Yeah, I'll speak to the first part first. So I think for anything to be successful, back to, you know, the word pilot even being somewhat erased, right, from different vocabularies, that you have to start off from a co-development lens, right, and a strategic partnership lens, and being very transparent from both fronts on expectations and also from a vendor or company perspective, very transparent on what you are able to help to accomplish and even shared risk as it relates to key milestones that have to be met and being honest about what's working and what's not, right? Because ultimately, if it's not working, how do you fail faster, as we all mm-hmm. talk about, right? And move on to more impactful, more cost-effective, more efficient ways of being able to tackle the problem. I think as it relates to just examples of what's working well, I'll speak to something that we just launched. And again, this isn't necessarily specific to virtual care, but I think really important right now from a collaboration lens for digital health at large is part of the work that we're doing at Peterson Health Technology Institute. We just launched something called a Digital Health Collaborative. Mm-hmm. And this is an opportunity for leading healthcare and trade and consumer organizations to really work together towards a common goal of evidence-based digital health that ultimately improves outcomes and lower costs at the end of the day, which I think we're all striving for. The anchor participants that are involved in the Digital Health Collaborative are groups like AARP, American Medical Association, American Telemedicine Association, DIME, the Digital Medicine Society, ICOM, Health Foundation, Rock Health Foundation, AHIP, NCQA, IVI, who am I missing? DTA, CTA, and National Alliance of Healthcare Purchasers. And I say that because it's obviously a powerful group of organizations and associations and those that are all individually putting out great research and great resources for their membership, which is both purchasers as well as vendors and companies, to ultimately get at that goal of, again, evidence-based digital health technologies that are helping to really address key needs and ultimately lower cost to the system as well as ultimately to patients. As part of the collaborative, we've stood up a research and impact fund. So as part of our philanthropy effort of both initiating the Peterson Health Technology Institute and providing grants for aligned resources and programs that we can ultimately work to tackle together. And the goal will be to be able to amplify these resources as well as research to the broader community so mm-hmm. that we can take more of an aligned approach of being able to tackle key problems. I'll give you one example. We just, the first grant that we provided through the Research and Impact Fund of the Digital Health Collaborative was to the Digital Medicine Society for an integrated evidence plan that they just launched about a month and a half ago. And this is aimed at helping companies better understand the levels of evidence that purchasers, digital health purchasers, be it health plans, employers, health systems, have and really expect for the digital health technologies that they're bringing in-house. And then also helping them be able to navigate the most efficient ways to address those evidence needs in market. So that's the first of a number of different research grants and programs that we look to fund through the collaborative. I'll lastly just say this is also an opportunity for us to better aggregate what already exists as it relates to research and resources from some of these leading organizations. And last but not least, we will be funding a state of digital health purchasing research study this year as part of the collaborative effort to really help both purchasers understand pain points that others are experiencing, but really also help companies understand, here's the expectations that purchasers yeah. have and how you can most efficiently tackle those.
Right. Like, what's the bar, right?
What's and the bar and how do we raise the bar for digital health purchasing overall?
Yeah. Because from the other side looking in, it's always seems mysterious, right? Some are more, you know, yeah. obvious about it than others, but it would be, that's, I think, a fantastic idea just to get that clarity and that transparency out there.
Yeah. So we'd welcome all to learn more about that on our website and reach out with interest.
No, fantastic. And I know we're coming up on time, but yeah. my last question I wanted to close with, throughout your career, you've seen such an evolution in healthcare over the last 20 years and in technology more broadly. Is there a moment or project that really stands out to you as particularly rewarding or indicative of the potential impact of digital health that makes you excited for the future?
There's been a number, but I honestly feel like now more than ever, there is such a realization that collaboration is ultimately key to be able to tackle these big, hairy issues that we have in healthcare, and even more so as it relates to digital health. I think seeing the growth of digital health during the pandemic was so incredibly exciting, right? To see it be pushed mainstream. But now we're at this real true inflection point of needing to ensure that confidence doesn't get eroded, right, for what does work. But to do so, we really need to do exactly what you were just saying, Mina, be able to know what the bar is in terms of expectations for purchasing, be it from a B2B side and from an end user patient perspective side. And in order to do so, that's where I'm hoping that the reports that the Peterson Health Technology Institute is helping put out can help answer those key questions back to does it work and for whom? And ultimately, is it worth it from a budget impact standpoint? And then again, being able to collaborate with key organizations and others in the ecosystem to be able to row in the same direction as it relates to research, programming, and ultimately helping to additionally crystallize the pain points that are being experienced in market so that that point solution fatigue can get additionally addressed.
No, that's fantastic. Well, Meg, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. And
thank
I hope you.
You
have a lovely weekend.
Yeah, you too, Mina. So great to connect.